through all of this, God is sending his gospel into all the world through missions, me, and SLBC. One of the problems that we do have in Christianity is that when we think of missions in America, in Christianity, especially in America, when we think of missions, we think of a missionary. We think of someone other than ourselves. We think of missions as being someone that is out there somewhere doing something. Someone that is sent, someone that has a special call upon their life that's different than our call. And when we think about missions, we forget and we neglect the fact that God is sending his gospel into all of the world through missions. Missions meaning the greater part of the church. This is the church universal. This is every Christian that's a part of the body of Christ and every individual local church, every part. When I say missions, it's not a missionary. Missionaries are people that are going to a specific place. They're going to Sri Lanka. They're going to Bulgaria. They're going to Ghana. They're going to these places as a family or as an individual. Caleb. As we go through all of that, we begin to... He's okay. Just one little issue. He's not misbehaving. Just want to get it. So when we see this, we think oftentimes of missionaries, and it's separate. But I want us to really understand this. God's sending his gospel into all of the world through missions, which means that is something he has sanctioned the church as a whole to do, every single Christian. And the next part of that is through me. You and I have a role in missions, world missions. It begins in our very home. It begins with us. It starts where we are. If we neglect to do missions and where we are neglecting world missions. And we are neglecting the work of God. And I want you to think SLBC. That is your local church. When we think of missions, we should think of all of these things immediately. We should think of ourselves, our church, and the church as a whole. Because all of these things are the part that carries out the missions. Without me, the church cannot function in missions. Do you understand? Let's say it this way. Without you, SLBC, Shining Light Baptist Church, cannot fulfill the work of missions without you. And without the church, missionaries cannot be sent. And so when we think of missions, this is a complete effort of every person that's involved. And I want us through from the rest of our life to think of missions not being someone else, but that should start immediately with us. It's a mission of the church. It's a mission that God has given to me. And it is a mission of my local church specifically. And we're going to find out how do we carry that out and how do we participate in that. And what is it that God wants us to do? We're going to look together. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn there. If not, we'll have this on the wall. Psalms chapter number 96. We can read so many places in Scripture this morning that would take us and share exactly what we're learning about right here. I want you to take special notice of these words that will be in yellow as we go through this. And I want you to really emphasize this morning as we read them what this means. We sometimes, if we're not careful, and I've seen this mentality kind of take place, we almost begin to think that God died for America. And if by any chance anyone else other than Americans get saved, well, that's a good thing. But God really, really, really is interested in America. And that is a false notion. God died. Jesus Christ came and died for the world. For every ethnic group in this world. And not a one of them are any more important or any less important than you and I. Notice what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter number 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord. Who is it that is to sing unto the Lord?
All the earth.
All the earth. Every single part. How is all the earth going to sing unto the Lord if we do not carry the gospel to all of the earth? This begins to tell, even in the Old Testament is what I want us to understand. Even in the Old Testament, the vision, the mission of world outreach and evangelizing the world, that was a part of God's plan. It was not that God was going to save Israel alone. It was that God was going to use Israel to spread his knowledge or the knowledge of him throughout the rest of the world. Notice verse number 2, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory, where?
among the heathen.
Now I want you to kind of tweak that word heathen a little bit in your mind, because we kind of have used that now as a derogatory word sometimes, and we might call somebody a heathen, you know, they're just bad sinners. But when God's speaking here, he's talking about these heathen being those that are not a part of this ethnic group that he's writing to. So you might have the Israelites, and they saw all others as heathens, not in the same sense that we get grasp that word today and use it. They are different. Remember part of that group that he's talking about, the people groups? When there's a likeness, there's a culture, a language that's gathered, that's the us, and everyone else is the them. And that's what he's saying through here. Israel's to take this understanding, because he wants this gospel spread to all the world. And for us here today is to recognize that God's not done because he's planted churches here in America, and because we have a church to come to and choose how we want to serve God. We recognize this very important fact. There is a God who's died for this entire world. And he says, I want you to declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among who?
All people.
If all I ever do is grow up in Danville, Virginia, show up to church, even in a fairly, you know, really faithful manner, and I never share God with other people, I have failed. If that's all you do, you have failed. It is our responsibility to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of God to all of the world. And that's going to look different in so many different ways, and how that we do that and what our role is. But we're to start where we are and start to work that gospel message out. You know, the church is really designed to reproduce itself. The church is designed that it will give birth to new Christians, and it will plant new churches, and it will spread, and that people in this area will be evangelized, but people beyond this area will be evangelized, and it multiplies and goes on and on and on. The Bible says in verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him who?
All the earth.
Are you starting to really grasp that? I mean, this is just one chapter out of one book of the Bible. And God's making it very clear that he wants the entire world to worship him. And what he wants, in order for that to happen, is for those that worship him to teach others to worship him. Notice in verse number 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Here he's teaching us that we are to speak to other people about our God. Just think about that statement. We are to speak to other people about our God. If I were to ask you this morning, and just think about it for a second. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you have spoken to other people? People that do not share the same God as you. How many of you have spoken to other people about your God in the last week, month, 3 months? It would be hard-pressed to find a good number of people to say, yes, I have done that. I've done that. I have talked to people that are non-Christians, and I have talked to them about my God. I didn't just try to convert them, but I have witnessed to them. I have shared my faith with them in some way. I've talked to them about God in some way. It would be really hard-pressed for us sometimes to find Christians that are sharing their faith and the love of God, what God's done in their life, with other people. Notice it goes on to say in verse 11, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the what? With righteousness, and the people with his truth. I want you to think about this for a second this morning. Think about the importance of it. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to judge this earth. If He was to come today, there's 8 billion people roughly on the earth today. How many of the 8 billion people would be judged?
8 billion
people. According to the statistics that we heard earlier, how many of the 8 billion people would not be prepared just based on the fact they've never heard that He's coming? They would be judged.
3 billion.
Jesus was coming today, 3 billion plus people would be judged, and they've never heard. Whose responsibility is it to reach them? Ours. Don't answer this. What are we doing to reach them? That's a very serious question. Because there's something else that we need to understand, is that when Jesus comes to judge this world, when He comes to judge those that have not heard, and that's not, just think about the 3 billion that live right now that have never heard. How many billions of people have died in that area of people that have not heard over the course of world history? He's also going to judge Christians for not fulfilling the commitment that we have, the obligation that we have to share the gospel with other people. And that is a sobering thought. Christianity today is almost shaped to feel better than other people. Come in, know that you're saved, know that you have the truth, and look down and feel better that you're not like other people. The Bible tells us something about that when a man comes in to a temple and he says, "I want to thank you, God, that I'm not like this sinner, and I'm not like this person." And we recognize that God does not approve of that man's attitude. And we may not come in and really think that, but in our hearts sometimes we do. We must be careful to look and say, "You know what, God, I want you to teach me about looking around this world and realizing that I am responsible in some way of sharing the gospel with them." Now, God, how do I do that? I wanted to share something. So we've got to get the gospel into where all of the world. There are seven, and it depends on how you break this up. Generally, this is the typical way in our area that you would understand this. There are 7 continents. 5 oceans, that's not really important to what we're looking at today with the gospel, but there are 7 continents. I'm sure every one of our students could name all of the 7 continents without any problem whatsoever, but we do have them on the board. Unless anyone wants to try it, we can take this off the board. Y'all can just give it a shot, right? So let's look at some of them together, and it may be easier to see on this slide here. We have North America. What do we have here?
South America.
All right, not bad. What do we have here? What's above Africa?
Europe.
And we're side of it?
Asia.
This one that's cut off?
Australia.
And this one down here?
Africa.
All right, so 7 continents that would really make up what we know as the world. And we're to get the gospel where? To all of them. Now, the interesting thing about Antarctica is there's no people groups there. The only people in Antarctica right now are scientists. The only thing is, it's ice. It's reserved for scientists. I'm sure they still need to know. But the idea is that there's no civilizations that live there. So that would bring us down to 6 continents that we need to make sure that we're thinking about, praying about, and getting the gospel to. We live in one of these continents. Does anyone know which continent that we live in?
North America.
We need to work in North America to continue to spread the gospel in North America. We're working in that continent. So we've taken off one continent because it's just all ice. And we're already working in one continent so that we're really, this is our home base, and we're working from there. So how many continents does that leave left that we need to really think about getting this? Very good. Y'all didn't want to have to do math this morning, did you? All right, so it's 5. And we can work through that area as well. I want to share this again. Thinking about these continents, notice this, our life application for today. The Bible says our statement says, God is sending His gospel into all the world through missions, me, and SLBC. I want you to read this with me. this morning. And I want you to read it with me, trying to take it in, trying to put this a part of, this is what we need, that we need to breathe this. We need to know this. This needs to be a part of who we are. So let's say it together. God is sending His gospel into all the world through missions, me, and SLPC. I hope that it's starting to make sense to us when we're talking about that. When we think of missions, we need to recognize God is sending His gospel into all the world. These seven continents that we want to think about, getting the gospel into all the world and being a part of that in some way, it starts in our very homes with us. I want to read to you Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 22. God says, look unto me and be ye saved. Who?
All the ends
of the earth. Let's do that together. Look unto me and be ye saved.
All the ends of the earth.
All the ends of the earth. You see, even in the Old Testament, God was not trying to save a popular people. And then in the New Testament, He gives the Great Commission and sends people out to all of the world. In the Old Testament, God's purpose was for all of the world, all of the earth, to look unto Him and be saved. We have to understand that God's goal and His purpose is to save every single person. That's why there is no room, there is no space, there's not an inch of room for racism in Christianity. Because we are all made by one Creator. And we are all, Jesus died for all people. We are all coming from the same family line of Adam. And God has sent us to reach all of the world. When we think about that, racism then only comes in as an opposition to the gospel message. It only comes in, the only role that it has in this world is to be in opposition to the commission that God's given us to go into all of the world and share with them the same love in God that died for us, that died for them. I want to share another verse of scripture with you, Matthew chapter number 28. Verses 18 through 20, when we move into the New Testament, this is more well known among missions. The Bible says Jesus, and this is when Jesus says, come back. He's resurrected, and He's speaking to His disciples. He's getting ready to leave, and He says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all powers, and that word power speaks of authority. All the authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach who?
All nations.
Our job is to reach all nations. Now, I understand that Shining Light Baptist Church cannot physically reach all nations, but if we're not doing something, we are failing and neglecting to be a part of what God's called us to do. And it begins at home. Notice He says, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, again, speaking of this same area, we find it now in the book of Acts, and the Bible says this. Jesus speaking to the disciples again says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what?
Witnesses.
You're going to witness when you receive the Holy Spirit. When do you receive the Holy Spirit? You receive that at salvation. Let's play that backward a little bit. If you are saved, you have received the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that make sense? If you are saved, you have received the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And if you have the Holy Spirit, He's equipping you to be what?
Witness.
So it's not for any of us to say, well, that's just not anything to do. I'm not, that's someone else's spiritual gift. Now, how this takes place may be different for each person, but He has equipped you to be witnesses. And He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Notice what He's saying. Both, and that word both means at the same time. Because He's going to give more than two things here. It's not just saying this place and this place. It's you're going to do it here as well as doing it here as well as doing it here. Jerusalem, and this area represents Jerusalem. This is where He's speaking to them from, and this is their home area. For us, Jerusalem would be Danville, Virginia. Does that make sense? If Jesus was here speaking to us, and He's saying you're going to start from right here where you are. So He says Jerusalem. What's the next place? And so Judea encompasses the area that would be just the surrounding area. If Danville, Virginia was our Jerusalem, then America would begin to be, Virginia and America would begin to be our Judea. All right, that helps you to understand what he's saying. You're going to start from here and be a witness for me, but not just here. You're going to branch out beyond your own borders, and you're going to go into other parts of your own country, and you're going to share. You're responsible for that area as well. But then notice what else he tells them. In all Judea and in Samaria, very interesting thing about Samaria. If this is Jerusalem, this is Galilee, this area is Jerusalem, and Samaria is right here. The quickest way to get from Jerusalem to Galilee or Galilee to Jerusalem is to just go straight through it, right? But the Jews didn't do that because they always went around it. They would not even step foot inside of Samaria. Why is that? I've shared it before. Why is that? Why would they not go through Samaria? They were mixed people. They were a different ethnic group of people. They were some were half-breeds of Jews and half some other type of people group. And the Jews couldn't stand it. And they wouldn't even walk through their territory. So we can certainly understand that in our day and time, there are people, and this is why I say the gospel is only effective when you take race out of the issue. Because Jesus said, you will be witness for me here in this area where you start unto your own people. Into this area in Jerusalem, in Judea, unto your own people. But now he has moved them where? Where?
Into Samaria.
Thank you. Into Samaria, which is not their own ethnic group. It's not people they respect. It's not people. And what he's saying is, you're going to have to change the way you think and feel about these people. Because you're going to have to reach these people as well. And you're going to bring them into the same family of God that you're. That's a hard pill to swallow for the Jews, isn't it? But it's no different than us looking at other people and other ethnic groups and races and looking around saying, you know what? God wants me to go and love them and reach them. But he didn't stop there. He said, unto the uttermost, I want you to start here, and you're responsible for being a witness for me here, but you're also responsible for being a witness to me in the outer areas of where you are to the same type of people like you. But you're also going to go into Samaria, and you're going to be witnesses unto me in Samaria. And to these people that are different than you. But it's not going to stop there. He says, I want you to go into the uttermost parts of the earth, and you're going to see people that are very different than what you are. And some of them have never heard and never know. But you're being sent into those same groups to carry the same message that the same God loves them the same way and wants to do the same thing. Matter of fact, the same Jesus died for them. When I think about that, it really opens my eyes to think about our message again. Let's read this together again this morning. Y'all doing a really good job. I do appreciate your help with all this. I really want us to grasp this. Let's read it together. God is sending his gospel into all the world through missions, me, and SLBC. The Bible says in Romans 10:13-15, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Meaning, whether you're in Jerusalem or Judea and you're the same type of people with the same general culture and the same general understanding, or whether or not you're in Samaria, or whether or not you're in the uttermost part of the world, whatever type, whatever, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We mentioned earlier there's 3 billion people in this world that are never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. If those people hear the gospel, no matter what their culture has been, no matter what their religion has been up to that point in time, if they hear the gospel, believe that message, repent of their sin, and call on the name of Jesus Christ, what does the Bible say would happen?
It
shall be saved. That's very important. Who's supposed to get it to them? The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? When we read the Bible in our day and time, we tend to attach meanings to words that we think we're accustomed to. When you read that word preacher, you look and say, talking about our pastor. Preacher is just the one that carries the message. It's every one of us. How shall they hear this if someone doesn't carry it to you? He goes on and he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Think about it again in Acts 1:8 where he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Looking at Ezekiel chapter number 3, these verses have always affected me in a very sobering way, I guess would be. God says to Ezekiel, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require. Where? Think about that verse. He says, when I give the message to the wicked that, in other words, what he's saying is, when I tell you to warn the wicked that they'll die in their iniquity, in other words, they'll die lost and go to a place called hell. He says, if you do not warn them, what's going to happen to them? They still die in their iniquity. It means they still die and do what? It's what we mentioned earlier today. A lot of people that believe if someone's never heard that God would never send them to hell, but he's already told us in these. He says if they die having never heard, they will still die and go to hell. But notice what he says. But I will hold someone else responsible for that. Who is it? If we've never told them. We've never made an effort. Think about the responsibility upon every single Christian, starting with you. With 3 billion people in our world today, they have never heard. He says, if you do nothing to warn them, I'm going to hold them accountable for their sin, and you accountable for not telling them. That's a big job. I want to make that just a little bit simpler. I'll say simpler. But let's look at it this way. He says, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. What God says here is, he's answering a question. He said, well, they don't want to hear it, or they don't listen, so why should we go if they don't hear? Because it's not about making them receive it, it's about giving them the opportunity. Because once I've given them the opportunity, I have released myself from that obligation. If I were to go to him and share the gospel with him and he does not receive it and he dies and he goes to hell, he dies and he goes to hell. But God does not hold me responsible for that. I have released myself from that. Why? Because I gave him the opportunity. I gave him the message. I've known parents that have never sat down with their children and shared Christ with them. Shared the faith. Taught them the Bible. I've known spouses before, and I have gone to do funerals for people when someone's passed away, and I would talk to the spouse, and I'd say, well, can you tell me about their salvation? They said, well, I know they believed. What did they believe? Where are they saved? Did they follow Christ? I've had people tell me, we've never really talked about that. Could you imagine your spouse dying, and you have the knowledge, and you never share it, being held responsible. That's why I say that this begins at home with us. I've said before, and I try to continue to carry it out, every spouse should know details, the information. You should know what your spouse believed when they were saved. Their faith should be lived out with you, and you should know something about that. You should share yours with them. Every parent should know their child. Every child should know their parent. How can we be responsible for getting the gospel out to a world of people that we don't know and don't even have the same language with if we're not diligent enough to share it in our own homes with each other? It begins there. Some of Kurt's even given testimony before that I'm staying in my home. My mom would get out of Bible at night and she would begin to read and she would do the devotions and she would pray and she would share our faith with she did it with us, she did it with whoever spent the night with us, and something she carried on for a long time. For parents, there was a rule in our home that ought to be in every home. And it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter anything. If you stayed in their home, you went to church. How can I make someone do something when they're grown? It's your home. If they decide to steal your car, you figure out they're grown, but you can make them do something. They decide to tear up your stuff, you figure out they're grown. You can set the boundaries for your home. Why did my parents do that? Because they were, was it something that they were just religious fanatics? No, it's that they understood this. I am responsible for the people that stay under my roof. If they choose this, that's good. If they don't choose this, if they don't want my help because I'm responsible for them, they don't want my boundaries, then that is fine. They get to make that choice. But if they stay here, this is where they'll go. That's what they'll do. They're going to hear this. They're going to sit in devotions. And they're going to hear these things. We are responsible. I'll try to tell every parent. When I do marriage, is I tell people to the husband, you are ultimately responsible for your household, teaching them the gospel, bringing them to church, sharing that, living it in front of them. To the wife, it's the same thing. To parents, it's all the same. The Bible says in Daniel chapter number 12, stay with me through this. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. What he's saying here is those people to whom will share the gospel and bring someone to salvation because of that. He says they will shine as the stars for all eternity. There's something glorious about that. There's an honor to what's being done. He says when you share that with somebody, that is something that's reflected through all eternity. What is the opposite of that? It's not honor. It's dishonor. I'm just this morning, my heart is heavy to share with us the responsibility of being a Christian is beyond showing up at church and check it off the list. It is to share this message that we've been given and this great gift. The Bible, where we started, says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord who?
All the earth.
There are seven continents on all the earth. Our job is to get this gospel to all the earth. Our job is to carry it to as many people as possible. Where does it begin? It begins right here at home. It begins with you, and it begins with me, it begins with the people that we know. Could I ask you a question this morning that I want you to answer only to yourself? When is the last time that you shared your faith in some way? When is the last time that you made a valiant effort to talk to someone about God in a way that you were not ashamed of, that you were not intimidated by because of anything else? You know, people say, well, work's not a place to talk about your faith. The Bible says get into all the world. Now, I did work with a man one time, and he would neglect his job and just sit around and talk. I think he liked to talk, and he picked the Bible, and he liked to talk about the Bible, and he was neglecting his job, and that's not a good Christian, because a good Christian is diligent in their work. Bible teaches us that we're to share our faith and be strong wherever we are. The disciples suffered because they said, stop sharing your faith or we'll persecute you. And they said, if we're to obey you or God, you'll have to figure it out now, but we're going to obey God. And he said, share it. I want you to understand, when we talk about sharing faith, we don't mean to go to somebody and say, hey, Brandon, yeah, I want you to know something. If you die right now, you go to hell. You need to change. That's not witnessing. Building a relationship. I stood for a considerable amount of time the other day in the yard speaking to a man. We had questions about his faith. And while we spoke, I prayed and asked God to lead me and help me to help him. And as the conversation went, I was able to talk to him more and more about God. You know how I did that? It's not because I'm a preacher. It's because there was a Holy Spirit inside of me that would give me things to say. And he'll do it for you. You know why he did it? Because I was willing. I was just willing. If you're willing today to share your faith with someone else, the Holy Spirit is willing to lead you through that entire process. I want us to read this together one more time. This is it. We're done. This is information for you to know, because when we think of missions, we don't want to think any longer about them and they. Missions is right here. I'm a missionary. You're a missionary. I'm either a missionary doing my job or I'm a missionary not doing it. You are either a missionary doing what God has called you to do, or you're failing. When God comes, we will all be judged in this aspect of our work. Being a part of the church, there's so many wonderful things. Tonight we'll share a meal together. We'll laugh and we'll joke and we'll have. There's times we come and we pray for one another. But truly being a part of the church is coming together to accomplish the work that God's called us to do. And a true church is one that's come together to fulfill the Great Commission to go into all the world and teach the gospel. It begins in our own home. It begins with us. You may be here this morning. You might be able to say, preacher, I get this, but I don't know how. I don't even know where to begin. That's okay. I'll show you where to begin in just a moment. Let's read it together. God is sending his gospel into all the world through missions, me, SLBC. So, preacher, where is it that I begin? You begin, first of all, where every person begins, acknowledging that this is our responsibility. Now, asking God to forgive us for not meeting this responsibility the way that we should, in any way that we neglect. Number two, by asking God to take us to the next step. Then you surrender yourself. Say, God, I see this. I don't know how to do it. God, I acknowledge this. I don't want to fail. Show me how to do it. I surrender myself to you. Sometimes we talk about people like myself that preach, and we'll talk about it as surrendering to a call to preach, which simply means that I knew at some time that God was leading me to do this and what we could call full-time work. Before that, I surrendered to a call to share the gospel. And that's where you need to be today. With heads bowed and eyes closed. I know this has been kind of deep and kind of heavy and kind of serious. But you know, standing before God, having not known, we have a greater responsibility than just saying we're a Christian and showing up at church as is convenient sometimes, or as faithful as we can. Realize that's not what it means to be a Christian. It's not what it means to be a part of a church. Being part of a church is fulfilling the work of God. It starts with an individual sharing. Spouses sharing, praying for one another. Parents praying for children, and children praying for parents. Families praying for other others in their family, their neighbors, their co-workers, their friends at school. Builds into our community. We carry bags of food to a school so we have the opportunity to teach them about Christ. We're here today to do the same. God said, if I warn someone and you don't give them that warning, I hold you responsible. This morning, I felt God leading me to warn you. Don't neglect this word. Don't shy away from it. Together, we will be the church involved in reaching our community and beyond. Together, we will learn. But it starts with you. The only way that we're successful is if you here today will say to God, Lord, I surrender myself to you. Make me one of you missionaries right here in my hometown, in my family. Show me where that goes from there. Our Heavenly Father,